Hello there, and welcome back to the Nerd Podcast. If you're joining us for the first time ever,
What? Ever?
ever,
First time?
every podcast is somebody's first.
Oh, I like that.
That's
Welcome.
welcome, but that stands for Never Ending Retro Dialogue, and we talk about all kinds of nerd stuff. How you doing,
I'm
Doug?
doing good. How
Oh,
are
I should
you,
say I'm
Jordan?
Jordan.
And I'm Doug.
He's Doug. So how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm full of General Tso's chicken,
Yes, lunch was tasty.
which is actually not. I didn't have Chinese food. I
No.
had Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yes.
They have a limited edition.
Yeah. By the time this episode airs, probably won't be available ever
No,
anymore.
never again.
Never again.
We got it while it was hot.
You missed your chances, folks. Sorry.
But I am full and hot because it's hot outside.
Yes. It is very warm.
So I'm like, again, I'm like, I feel like a clam being baked alive.
Oh, wow.
Because there's something in me.
That sounds terrific. Horrific.
Horrific, yeah.
Terrifically horrific?
Terrifically horrific, yeah.
Horrifically terrific?
I'm a human clam bake.
Let me go get the Old Bay. Man. All right.
Well, so
Yeah.
today we have a cool episode, I think.
I think so.
Well, I think all our episodes are cool.
You know what? We're biased, but I'm going to agree. All our
Yeah.
episodes are awesome. But yeah, today I want to give a shout out to my uncle Adam because this was his idea,
Yeah.
basically. We were talking on the phone months and months ago. He had listened to an episode and said that we should do one on under the radar movies, sneaky good movies, ones that for whatever reason just didn't hit the audience, didn't smash box office records.
Yeah.
So we're going to try, because obviously we start going into gray territory with this, right? Because it's very easy to stumble onto something and, well, it's actually a cult classic, because
Right.
that falls into a whole other category. We're hoping to only be talking about movies that just, for whatever reason, just didn't hit the mark, but they're entertaining as heck, and more people should know about them.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we're gonna try.
Yeah, it is. I think it was really hard for me because so many of the movies I like that I think people need to watch are cult movies. But yeah, these won't be because we already did a cult movie episode. So if
Yes.
you want to go listen to that, I think it was the third episode we did,
Something like that.
somewhere around. It was quite early on in the podcast. But we did cult classics, so we're gonna try and stay away from that and just talk about movies that you I'm. They probably are movies you haven't heard of, which is, not that different from a cult classic movie because a lot of people haven't heard of cult classic movies, but these don't have the
They
audience.
don't have the following.
Yeah.
They don't have, Rocky Horror Picture Show. Yes, didn't do well, but now it's famous.
Right.
Princess Bride. These are movies that don't have that following.
Right.
So I tried to, one, I had quite a few off the top of my head that I had listed, but then what I tried to do is the first metric was, what was their budget? And then what did they take in at the box office?
Yeah.
If it's a really good movie and it lost money, then I think it pretty much qualifies, and I didn't have to check anything else
Yeah.
out. So then it turned into, well, what's too much money at the box office, right? Because a movie in the 80s that did, 10 million, that's pretty good in the 80s.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still not great, but it's not a slouch.
Right.
Whereas you do 10 million now and you're getting pulled. I mean, heck, look, they pulled Batman or The Flash, excuse
The
me.
Flash.
The Flash after doing
Yeah.
what,
Oof.
200 and some million?
Yeah, I don't know. I that yeah, oof.
So, yeah. But anywho, so yeah, so there it's a tricky little gray area, because there was actually a movie that my wife really likes, and I have not watched it yet. She says it's amazing. It's called Prisoners, with Jake Gyllenhaal and Hugh Jackman.
Okay.
Says it's absolutely amazing. I check it out, and it basically made its budget, and that was it. So, but it was like 50 million. So, is a movie that does 50 million at the box office a sneaky hit, you know? So those are the questions we have to, you know, navigate.
Yeah.
So if you guys have an opinion on that, as always, just hit us up on the social media stuff. But yeah, so that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was difficult for me to think of some that fit the criteria because it's just, but I'm just going to go with the movies that are coming to mind.
Yeah.
And we'll see. And if people disagree, then they disagree.
We'll just have a conversation.
A conversation.
Yeah. It's like a dinner with Andre.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen that movie.
No, me neither. Who? Wallace Shawn, right? Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, well, they did that episode of Community.
Yes. That's actually how I know it more. I knew the movie existed, but yes. The Community spoof is pretty good.
Yeah. Maybe the Community movie will be on this list in the future.
Ooh, maybe.
Hopefully not. Hopefully that does really well.
Maybe the Weird Al story.
Oh, yeah.
Should be on this. That actually should be a cult classic.
Well, but he's got UHF, so.
He does have UHF. But yeah, before we go any further, I guess I should say, so my uncle, his vote for, or one that came off the top of his head was The Cooler.
I don't know that one.
And then, so that, it is a movie that stars, I had heard of it. I don't think I've ever watched it fully, but it's got William H. Macy in it, Alec Baldwin, and Maria Bello.
Okay.
Is in it. So, I mean, a nice cast. But yeah, so it takes place in Vegas, and that's about all I can tell you about it. But he says it's really good.
Okay.
And I did check out the metrics on it, or, you know, the numbers, and yeah, it didn't score.
The numbers check out.
Yeah. The diet, you know, the viewer rating was good for it. It was like in the high sixes, I believe. So, but yeah, it didn't make a whole lot of money. So yeah, so The Cooler. So this, Cooler. Here we go. If you guys don't like this episode, then you can blame my Uncle Adam.
But this episode is going to be under the radar itself.
It very well could be.
So
that's it. All right. So what do you got?
So I'm going through this list.
Yeah.
And the first one that catches my eye is Treasure Planet.
Oh, the animated movie?
The animated movie from the year 2000, I believe.
Uh-huh.
Well, it was the early 2000s. It might have been 2000, 2001. I don't remember too much about Treasure Planet, but I remember seeing it in theaters and loving it. It is obviously it's a space age reimagining of Treasure Island.
Yep.
But I remember thinking it was like, if I may quote Community, Streets Ahead.
And remember, kids, if you're not Streets Ahead, you're Streets Behind.
But this movie bombed.
It was a huge bomb.
Yeah. This actually says it's one of the biggest box office flops ever.
Oh.
So I don't know if that's true, but Treasure Planet was a really fun one.
I enjoyed it. I want to say Maddie had it for a bit on DVD or Blu-ray. She borrowed it from someone. I could be wrong on that. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun.
Let's see if it tells me how much. Oh, no. Okay. But yeah, Treasure Planet I saw in theaters, and I remember, I mean, I must have been like maybe 10 when I saw that movie.
Man.
And that was really a lot of fun. So that's the first one that gets my vote.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, he's in that?
He is.
Yeah, you're right.
He's Jim Hawkins.
Yeah, you're right.
It's got a great voice class. You got Emma Thompson, you got Martin Short.
Martin Short, yeah.
Roscoe Lee Brown. Yeah, it's got...
I should say it was 2002.
Too. Yes.
So I was exactly 10.
You were... look at you. So yeah, just so... as far as the numbers go...
Yeah.
The estimated budget was $140 million. Yep. And gross in the U.S., it did... just over 38 million.
Oh, wow.
So worldwide, it did a little bit better, but it was still under budget. Yeah. So I think that follows. Now, the question becomes, I've never encountered anyone that, you know, claims to have a cult following for Treasure Planet.
Right.
So I would think that safely falls into this.
Yeah.
Good one.
What about you? What's your first one?
So my first one, you know, I've got actually quite a list, so I'm going to have fun talking about these. The first one I've got is a movie called Ronin. Stars Robert De Niro.
Okay.
It's got Jean Reno in it. There's Sean Bean's in it.
Oh, Sean Bean.
Sean Bean. And Sean Bean does, well, spoiler alert for a 30-year-old movie or however old it is, Sean Bean doesn't die.
No way.
Yeah, I know, right? So it's actually, so yeah, so it's from 1998. Stellan Skarsgård's in it. I forgot about him. And then Jonathan Pryce is in it. Directed by, oh gosh, what's his name? Frankenheimer. Is that his name? Oh, man, I'm really good at it. Yes, Frankenheimer. So De Niro's like a out-of-work operative, and he's working with these other disgraced operatives, and they're trying to infiltrate this organization, and led by Jonathan Pryce. And it turns out not everyone is who they say claim to be. Got some great car chases in it, which, you know, it's Frankenheimer. He does some good action with that. It's a nice little watch. It can be slow in a few spots, but I don't mind it. But yeah, that's my first one. I was going to give the numbers on it. I had them here, and now I've lost them. Shame on me. Gosh, we are falling apart already. No. So budget was estimated at $55 million, and they grossed $41 million in the U.S., and it was not released worldwide. So lost money. Oh. Not a huge flop, but if you look at ratings, like on IMDb, it gets a 7.2.
Yeah.
It's a solid spy action movie.
Ronin. Nothing to do with samurai, though.
Nothing to do. You know, I think it's the concept that he was a warrior, you know, take the metaphor, and now he's disgraced, and so now he's a Ronin, right?
Ronin. Yeah. So, if I'm going to stick with the animated space stuff...
Is it going to be themed for you today?
No, just... but Treasure Planet reminded me of this movie, yeah. Titan A.E.
Ooh, yeah.
Have you ever seen that?
I have.
That's another one I saw in theaters. This is from 2000, and it was directed by Don Bluth. Just learned that.
Oh, I did not know that either.
Yeah, which I did not know Don Bluth was... Oh my gosh, Don Bluth is still alive.
Yeah, he is.
He's 85.
Yeah. Anyone who doesn't know who Don Bluth is, shame on you first. No, that's not right. We wouldn't want to shame you. You're coming here to learn things. Don Bluth was got his start with Disney. He actually worked on my favorite Disney animated movie, Robin Hood.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Which I think you could say is an underrated
one. Yeah, definitely. You never hear people talk about Robin Hood. No one
talks about Robin Hood.
But that's one of my favorites.
It is a fantastic Disney animated movie. But then... He did, I mean, he's probably most noted for Land Before Time, right?
Yeah.
He also did Secret of Nim, yep. Which is a great animated movie.
American Tail.
Yep. So
All Dogs Go to Heaven. And yep. Also he worked on Dragon's Lair.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, but that totally makes sense because of the animation.
So, yeah, he's an icon. I did not know he did that, though.
No, yeah, he directed it. This is a movie about, AE stands for After Earth, and it's about these people who are trying to find a new home after Earth is destroyed, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this cast, though.
Yeah.
Matt Damon.
Uh-huh.
Bill Pullman. John Leguizamo. Nathan Lane. Janine Garofalo. Drew Barrymore.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I knew it had a good cast, but I did not remember all those people being in there. I remember some of them. Yeah, and this was like a 2D film that was set in the future. It says here budget $75 to $90 million. I don't know why they don't have a strict number.
Yeah.
But it only made $36.8 million.
And that's worldwide. In the U.S., it only did 22.
Well, you know what? I'm proud to say I'm part of that 22 million because I saw it in theaters.
I did not see it in the theaters. It is a good movie. It's a fun watch.
It's really good if you like sci-fi, if you like space kind of cartoons, if you like good voice casts. It's just, it has really solid writing,
mm-hmm.
I thought, and I guess, you know, it's even better now that I realize Don Bluth directed it.
Makes you wonder what I mean, we can debate this with all these. What caused that to not hit the mark? Was it going against something else?
Mm.
You know, was it not great marketing? Maybe it too was just Streets Ahead, and people just didn't know how to take it.
Something about those early 2000s space movies, people weren't ready for it.
Yeah, yeah,
they weren't ready.
Ahead of their time. But yeah, that is definitely worth a watch. Good call, man.
Yeah,
look at you pulling it out.
Well, Treasure Planet, I was like, there's another one, and then I was like, oh, it's Titan A.E. But I really like Titan A.E. a lot, and I need to watch it again. It's probably been 10 years since I've seen it.
It's been a while since I've seen it, too. Yeah. That's a fun one.
Yeah. I don't know if it's streaming anywhere, but if it is, give it a watch.
Yeah. Well, you know what? If we were good at what we're doing, we would already know where it's streaming.
That's true.
Yeah. We're failing our fandom.
Let's see if I can find it.
Well, while you're looking, I'll jump into mine. Second one.
Disney Plus?
Oh, well, there you go.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're fine. So, my next one is also from the early 2000s. I believe 2001.
Okay.
It's a movie called Heist. It was written and directed by David Mamet. Stars Gene Hackman, Sam Rockwell, Danny DeVito, Delroy Lindo, Rebecca Pidgeon, Ricky Jay, just a great cast. And if you guys are familiar with David Mamet productions, the dialogue is just fantastic. But the premise is Gene Hackman's an aging thief. He's got his crew, and they're trying to do one last score so that they can all retire.
Mm-hmm.
And things go south, as they often do in the seedy underworld. And so there's double cross after double cross after double cross. It's just a fun movie. It's just got a ton of one-liners in it. The dialogue's great. Unfortunately, most of them I cannot.
Hey.
I guess I could repeat, but you know, we try to keep this family-friendly podcast. So definitely don't want to watch the movie with the young ones. But yeah, just a great little, you know, suspense caper, trying to figure out what's going on, and just when you think you've got it, then you don't, and then there you go. So yeah, that's a great one. Heist. Oh, and the numbers on that one. I did have the numbers for that. So on IMDb, it averages a 6.5, I believe. But yeah, so its budget was estimated at 39, and it only did 23 in the U.S.
Oh, wow.
So worldwide, it did 28. So it just, yeah, it definitely did not hit the mark.
Imagine being, like, we're normal people, and we're like $28,000, and you failed. Like, if we made $28,000,
yeah,
we would be set.
Yeah.
But the movies business.
Well, 28 million.
Oh, 28 million.
Yes.
I don't know why I was thinking 1,000. 28 million. Yeah. Well, then we did even better.
We did even better, yeah.
But if you're a movie, that's not good enough.
I would love to try to make a flop for that.
Yeah, really.
Let's do it.
We should make a movie.
You know what?
The Nerd Podcast, the movie.
There we go. Why not?
Yeah.
If Kevin Smith can do it, we can do it.
Yes. Let's do it.
Yeah. We got this. All right. What do you got next?
All right. I don't know if you've ever seen this movie. It's called Super. With Rain Wilson?
No.
Okay. This is a movie you have to watch.
Okay.
It's directed by James Gunn. Rain Wilson becomes a vigilante called the Crimson Bolt.
Okay.
And he goes around with a monkey wrench beating up criminals. It is very much a realistic film. It's not like what you would think of as a superhero film. It's more of like this guy goes crazy and becomes a superhero. It's got Rainn Wilson, Elliot Page, Liv Tyler, Kevin Bacon, Nathan Fillion, and Michael Rooker, among other people.
Wow. Which,
it's a James Gunn movie, so of course it's got Michael Rooker in
it. Of course it does.
And Sean Gunn is in there somewhere.
What?
Yeah. So, this movie, it was made for $2.5 million, which is crazy cheap to me for a movie. but it only made $595,000.
What year is this from?
2010.
Wow.
I watched it in college because it must have just come out back then. Yeah, it's a really great movie. His girlfriend, or his wife gets, she runs away with a drug dealer who's Kevin Bacon.
Well, sure.
And he becomes a criminal or a superhero who hunts down criminals to try and find her. Here's a thing that says similarity to Kick-Ass. I like this movie better than I like Kick-Ass.
Okay.
Can I say that on here?
You just did.
Okay.
You're fine.
Well, I can edit it out.
It's the name of a movie.
Yeah. Yeah. So this was a really good one. If you've never seen it, definitely check it out. If you like comedies, like black comedies, and superhero stuff, and if you like Rainn Wilson from The Office, who played Dwight, if you're not familiar with him, this is a really good movie, and it was completely, basically unheard of, you know, so.
Yeah. I wonder if that is streaming anywhere.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Hmm.
Yeah. So that's the one that I recommend.
It's on Amazon Prime.
Okay, there you go. It's on Amazon Prime.
There we go.
Check it out.
And it's also on Pluto TV and Tubi.
Ooh, Pluto. Yeah, I love it.
All right. That's awesome. What do you got? You are really going obscure. I like it. All right. Where do I want to go next? I want to go with Secondhand Lions.
Ooh, you know what? I've never seen this movie.
It is one of Sharon and I's favorites. Stars Robert Duvall, Michael Caine, and Haley Joel Osment.
Yes.
There we go. Lost his name there for a minute. So the premise is Michael Caine and Robert Duvall are brothers. Michael Caine and his southern accent are just fantastic. But they're adventurers, and you know there's all these rumors of what they did throughout their lives and whatnot, and Haley Joel Osment, his mom, sends him there, and with the idea that he needs to try to find their treasure, because there's rumor that they have a treasure, and So he ends up going there and learning all kinds of things and hearing all these stories and learns a little bit about life. And if you'll indulge me, there's actually two really good quotes from Secondhand Lion. Okay. Oh, what the hell? Gosh, who else is in it? Josh. He plays the grown-up version of Haley Joel Osment. Oh, I'll have to come back to that. I'm going to forget his name. He was in Sweet Home Alabama.
Josh Duhamel?
No.
I don't remember Sweet Home Alabama.
He was also in... He was in a basketball movie.
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan, yeah.
Space Jam is a basketball movie.
That is a basketball movie, yeah. Wasn't it? Josh Lucas.
Okay,
there we go.
I don't know him.
Okay. But here's one of Robert Duvall's characters. Hub McCann is his character's name.
Okay.
People are basically good, that honor, courage, and virtue mean everything, that power and money and power mean nothing, that good always triumphs over evil, and I want you to remember this, that love, true love, never dies. You remember that, boy. You remember that.
Wow.
So, and then there's a scene where these thugs, these young punks, start eating his food.
Yeah, I have seen this clip.
Yep, and the quote he gives from that, because the kid goes, "Who do you think you are, old man?" And he goes, "I'm Hub McCann. I've fought in 2 world wars and countless smaller ones on 3 continents. I led thousands of men into battle with everything from horses and swords to artillery and tanks. I've seen the headwaters of the Nile and tribes of natives no white man had ever seen before. I've won and lost 12 fortunes, killed many men, and loved only one woman with a passion a flea like you could never begin to understand. That's who I am.
Whoa, that's a pretty good one.
So
I'm gonna start calling people fleas that fleas, I don't like.
There we go. It's just, it is just such a fun movie and heartwarming, and it's just, it's, the kids can watch it. We used to watch it all the time when they were younger because, you know, it's something we enjoyed, but it was safe for them too. But yeah, Secondhand Lions.
Yeah,
I can't recommend that enough.
That's one I've been meaning to watch for several years. I just never did. But I know it's got a great cast. So
it's an amazing cast. Amazing. All right. What do you got?
Well, I'm going to... I promise not all my movies are going to be grouped in twos, but I'm sticking with the Vigilante theme real quick.
Oh, here we go.
Defendor. Do you know this one?
I do not.
Okay, Defendor actually came out in 2009, so it's a year before Super. But Defendor is a vigilante comedy movie, and it is Woody Harrelson, who becomes a vigilante named Defendor, and he fights crime. But he's the only person that really thinks of himself as fighting crime.
Okay.
It's also got Kat Dennings in it and Elias Koteas, who was in Ninja Turtles.
Yes.
Casey Jones.
He was Casey, yeah.
He's great in this movie, Elias is. But Woody Harrelson steals the show in this movie because he is so dedicated to the fact that he becomes a vigilante. This movie was apparently made for $4 million Canadian dollars. So I don't know the transfer rate to that, but it only made $44,000 in U.S. dollars. So I'm just gonna assume that no matter how you translate that money, it's not good. But yeah, so he basically loses his mother at a young age, and it kind of messes him up, and he becomes a vigilante after a while to get back at all the evil criminals on the street. And there's some great scenes in this movie. It's like Super, but it's not as dark as Super. So if you're into vigilante movies, then, or comedies, or Woody Harrelson, or anything really that is good in the world, yeah, that's another one that I watched when we had Family Video in town.
Oh, Family Video?
Yeah, we would just go and rent random movies that looked good.
Mm-hmm.
And Defendor was one of the ones that was on the shelf, and we were like, well, you know, it's Woody Harrelson, it looks interesting, and it's really good.
Defendor.
Yeah, Defendor with an O. Okay. Defendor.
I'm gonna have to take one of my movies off my list, I think.
Uh-oh.
I must not looked at the numbers on this one. Well, here, let me get your opinion on this. I'm skipping a few movies. Apocalypto.
Okay.
Absolutely love that movie.
Yeah.
If you've never heard of it, directed by Mel Gibson, and then a whole bunch of actors that you don't know, set in the time of Mayan Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pulse pounding, you know, this tribe of people get captured and they're being brought to, you know, the bigger tribe, you know, where the temples are. They're going to be sacrificed, and the main character is able to break away and escape, and then he's being chased. I can't say enough great things about it. But then I looked at the numbers. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it qualifies. Okay. So the budget was estimated $40 million.
Okay.
In the U.S. it did 50. So, I mean, made a little money. Still not a hit, right?
Yeah.
Worldwide, though, it did $120 million. And I'm assuming, I mean, there's not a lick of English spoken in this movie. It's all subtitles. So I got to believe it probably did well in South America and whatnot, because that's, you know, obviously in Mexico, that's where it's set. It's where it's meant to be set anyways. So I'm not sure does that qualify? It was a worldwide success, yeah, but it wasn't a success in the U.S.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, the thing is, like, one of the big things is, like, do you ever hear anybody talking about Apocalypto?
Not unless I'm the one who brings it up.
So I would say that's an okay, because the next one I'm going to talk about also did better than its budget.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I think that because nobody really talks about it, I think that's fine.
Okay.
So talk away.
Well, about your love. There's, yeah. If you've never watched Apocalypto, do yourself a favor and watch it. It is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you how many times I've watched it. I watch it at least once or twice a year. I absolutely love it. It's a great movie.
Yeah, that's a one that you don't ever hear anybody talking about. And
well, and look, so I mean, you know, when it came out, you know, Mel Gibson was at the peak of being crazy old Mel Gibson, so that probably didn't help things. So, you know, I kind of pushed past that because the movie itself is just phenomenal.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that the money doesn't always necessarily dictate, because something can do well, but it can still be underappreciated, you know. So I think that that's safe on the list.
Okay.
I think. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, you know what? It's our podcast.
It's our podcast.
If you guys disagree with us, let us know.
We'll be changing our name to the Apocalypto Podcast.
Oh, there we go.
Apocalypto.
The Apocalypto Defender?
Yeah. It's hyphenated.
Super Defender?
Super Defender.
There's the crossover we
need. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Those guys would work really well together, actually.
You know what? We just pitched Woody, Rain, if you guys are listening. let's make that happen.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right. So my next movie, I don't know if you've ever seen this one. It's called Safety Not Guaranteed.
No.
Okay. You would love this movie.
Okay.
It's got Mark Duplass in it.
Okay.
Who was in The League, right?
Yes.
And Aubrey Plaza.
Okay.
And it was directed by Colin Trevorrow, who did the Jurassic World.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
This is a really good one. It's a comedy about a guy who puts an ad in the newspaper looking for an assistant to help him build a time machine.
Okay.
But the whole movie, you can't tell if this guy's crazy or if he's actually building a time machine. Until the end of the movie, you kind of figure it out. Mark Duplass plays the guy building the time machine. Aubrey Plaza answers the ad. I forget why. But now this movie did better than its budget. Its budget was only
$750,000. Oh, jeez.
But it made back $4 million.
Oh.
$4.4 million. So that's another one that we can debate.
For what it was, it would be considered a success, right?
Yeah.
But
you never hear anybody talk about
$4 million. It still only did $4 million. So yeah.
Right. And you just never hear anybody talk about this movie. This was another one I watched in college. Really funny movie. And Mark Duplass has got range, I think, because he's also in that one movie, Creep, or whatever.
Yes.
So he can do a lot of good stuff. But him and Aubrey Plaza together are really cool. And the whole time they just leave you guessing. You're just like, what is going on really? Because they drop little clues like, maybe he is doing it, or maybe he's crazy.
Interesting. Yeah. Safety Not Guaranteed.
You'll have to check it out sometime.
I will do that.
Yeah.
I like him.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
I think him and his brother work together a lot, don't they?
Yes.
So.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, so that's another one that I think is underappreciated.
Yeah.
I watched it on a whim, and I was like, this is great.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
What do you got?
What do I have? Well, I'm going to talk about this one next. I briefly touched on this in the Cult Classic episode, but I think we both agreed it's really not Cult Classic because we never see, like, a following for it.
Yeah.
And that's 13th Warrior.
I knew you were going to bring this one up.
Yeah.
I just didn't know when.
Yeah. So, I mean, huge, 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 huge flop. Did terrible. And I don't know why. Maybe marketing wasn't right. Maybe people didn't care for the storyline.
Yeah.
I don't know, but this is definitely a movie I watch more than once a year. We actually just watched it during D&D.
And you were quoting it.
So and I was quoting
you've
it,
You've seen it quite a bit.
I've seen it a few times. So, yeah, a huge flop. I don't think it's a cult classic.
No.
So I'm going to put it on this because I really think it's underappreciated. I don't know why it flopped. It's a great story. It's based on a Michael Crichton short story.
Oh, that's right.
It's just such a good movie. Antonio Banderas is great in it. All the guys that play the Vikings are just phenomenal. The action's great. It's a tightly written story. You know, it moves along. It doesn't, you know, coast at all.
And it's quotable.
So. And it is highly quotable. Even my niece was quoting it. I absolutely loved it. So, but yeah, 13th Warrior. If you like fantasy, action, you know, a little, is it supernatural? Is it not? You know, what's going on? Yeah.
Maybe people were afraid because it was the number 13.
Maybe.
They were like, ooh, that's bad luck.
Could be. As popular as Vikings are now.
Yeah.
Maybe it was ahead of its time, too.
Well, when was it made? The 90s, right?
Was it the 90s?
I don't know why I thought that was for sure the 90s.
99,
okay.
Yeah. Now, and look, I mean, as far as the cast goes, you know, it's Antonio Banderas, you got Diane Venora, and you've got Omar Sharif. Those are the three names, right? And then the director's John McTiernan. I mean, freaking Die Hard, for crying out loud. So, yeah, it is a great movie. It's absolutely one of my favorites, and I can't get enough of it. And everyone should give it a try.
Everyone should watch The 13th Warrior.
They should. Yeah. Come on over. We'll have a viewing party.
It's interesting because Antonio Banderas was still very popular. I mean, he's still popular, but he was really popular in the 90s.
Yeah, this was the height, right? You know, he was really churning it out.
Huh.
And I just, maybe it's just the period piece. Maybe it didn't have enough action.
Mm.
Maybe they expected more explosions since it was John McTiernan. I don't know. But, you know, John McTiernan, Michael Crichton right there.
Right.
And then you have Antonio. You should, I don't know.
You just can't make people happy is the problem.
That's it too. And this is, so that's one of the movies. This is going to be silly when I say it, but I'm sure some people can think of movies that they feel the same way. I'm sad I didn't watch in the theaters.
Yeah.
I wish I would have watched it in the theaters. We rented it on a whim because, you know, when Sharon and I were first married, and we're like, okay, we'll give that a try. And then we didn't watch it the whole weekend, and we finally popped it in right before we had to return it. And we were both like, oh my gosh. So, I mean, she enjoys it thoroughly too. So, yeah. Anywho. Yeah. The one line, today was a good day, gets quoted all the time in the Daringer household.
Yeah.
So
it does.
It does, yeah.
Especially that time it was on TV.
Especially. So anywho, yeah, there you go. What you got?
I'm going to go back to 2002.
Okay.
For a little movie called Death to Smoochie.
Oh, look at you. Yeah. You're speaking my language.
Death to Smoochie. If you don't know this movie, it is... I didn't realize this, though. It was directed by Danny DeVito.
Yes.
And it's got DeVito and Robin Williams and Ed Norton in it. And it's basically Ed Norton is Robin Williams is a children's show host called Rainbow Rudolph. Mm-hmm. And he's being replaced by Edward Norton, who is Smoochie. So the whole film is basically Rudolph trying to... Or Robin Williams trying to sabotage Edward Norton's character, and it's like a really funny, even as a kid I knew it was funny.
It is hilarious.
But here's the damage that it did. $50 million budget.
Yeah.
What do you think it made?
Oh, I'm gonna say 22.
8.3.
Ooh.
8.3 million.
Do you think that one's because people didn't want to buy Robin Williams as that kind of character?
I think that's part of it. So Wikipedia classifies it as a satirical black comedy crime film, which is a lot. But I think also black comedies, like, you know, gallows humor, is really hard to sell.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of it. And I also think the premise is just so out there. Like, what in the world is this movie about?
You sit there. I remember the first time we watched it, and We're like, what in the world is going on? We actually still own this movie on DVD.
Oh, really?
It's one that we talk about, oh, maybe we'll purge it, but it's like, it is just so, it's so stupid funny. It's almost, I've always, that was almost one I was going to bring up for good, bad movies.
Yeah.
You know? But it's just so fun. And then what's the one guy that plays in it too? He was in Mrs. Doubtfire. He played Robin Williams' brother. He's in it.
Oh yeah, I don't know.
He plays a mobster. Oh my gosh, Harvey Fierstein, right?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, that movie's fun. Ed Norton is just goofy as all get out. Catherine Keener's in it too,
yep,
correct?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. That's hilarious. You brought that up. That is definitely that movie is not for everyone.
No. It's definitely not. But even as a kid, I had a weird sense of humor.
Oh, my gosh. It is great. So quotable, but you can't use any of
No.
You definitely can't use any quotes from that. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, don't watch that with the kids.
Yeah. That the fact that I was watching it when I was watching it is definitely like I shouldn't have been watching it.
Yeah.
I don't remember. You know, I don't remember any of the two bad stuff, but I do remember it being like the weirdest. But it was on Comedy Central all the time, I think.
Yeah.
And so you know how when you have cable, you just like they play the same movies over and over again. Like HBO does that.
Yeah.
And or did that? I don't know if they do it anymore. But yeah, it was on all the time. So that's one that I definitely recommend watching if you like black comedies or like just weird.
If you just want to shut your brain off.
Yeah.
And just laugh. That, yeah. Put that in.
I agree.
That one's great. Oh my gosh, good call. I did not think we would be talking about Death to Smoochie today.
I'm a wild card.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so I'm going to go with another 90s movie, The Ghost in the Darkness.
Oh, I don't know this one.
So, Ghost in the Darkness, Val Kilmer. Michael Douglas,
oh.
Tom Wilkinson, directed, my screen went blank. directed by Stephen Hopkins, don't know who that is, and written by William Goldman. So, premises, you're in Africa, Tom Wilkinson is trying to get this railroad built, and... Val Kilmer is the primary engineer, and they're having some problems. There's these two lions that are terrorizing the people, and they are the ghosts in the darkness. And it's rumored that they're man eaters and this and that. So they end up enlisting the help of a hunter, Michael Douglas, and then there you go. And it's just one of those movies. It's slow paced until it's not, but it's definitely a slow burn a lot of times. Val Kilmer, Michael Douglas are great in it. It always just had me on the edge of the seat, especially when you had the scenes with the lions. It's just very, I don't know, nerve wracking. Lost a ton of money.
Yeah.
At the box office, didn't do well at all. Yeah, I think the budget was like 55, and they brought in 38, and I don't think it was released. It was. It was not released worldwide, and I'm guessing it's because of how poorly it did in the U.S., and maybe it's because they didn't want to show it because of the subject matter. I don't know, but yeah, The Ghost of the Darkness. Buddy of mine, Travis... was able to catch up with him, when this episode airs, a while ago. But he's a huge movie buff, and we actually talked about this movie specifically. I was letting him know about this one, and he gave me a ton of movies he would consider. And unfortunately, I may have had a few drinks when we were talking, and I can't remember most of them. I know there was one by Robert Altman he was talking about, and I can't remember the name of it. Huh. So do homework and look up the movies of Robert Altman and pick one, I guess. But not MASH, because I wouldn't say that's underappreciated.
Right.
But yeah, so Ghost of the Darkness. It's a nice little thriller. But yeah, watch it with the lights off, and that really intensifies it.
Well, so since you're talking about Ghosts in the Darkness,
Yeah.
I'm gonna bring up the Frighteners. Have you
Oh,
seen this? Okay.
yes.
Frighteners
This is
is
another one that Travis and I talked about.
really, that's
Yes.
funny.
Yes.
So if you're unfamiliar with the Frighteners, it's from 1996.
Yeah.
It's Michael J. Fox
Yes.
and directed by Peter Jackson,
Peter Jackson.
who would go on to direct Lord of the Rings, which is
This was
crazy.
back in his horror phase.
Yeah.
Love it.
So basically, Michael J. Fox has the ability to communicate with ghosts. He can see them and communicate with them. And he kind of uses this ability to be a fraud at first, but then some bad stuff starts going down, and Jake Busey's ghost comes back to life, and he's a serial killer. Well, his ghost comes back, and he's a serial killer. And so Michael J. Fox basically has to stop him before he kills more people. It's a horror movie, but it's also a comedy movie. I just watched it again, like I think last Halloween, because I was trying to find movies that we didn't watch very often, for Halloween. Music by Danny Elfman. I didn't know that, but that makes
Yes.
sense. So this is one that actually did better than its budget, but not by much. It had a $26 million budget and made $29.3 million. But yeah, this is one that I think is, especially for being a Michael J. Fox movie, is completely underrated, and for being a Peter Jackson film, is
Yeah.
completely underrated. So, I don't know. That's
That is a good one.
a good
Nice
one.
call, man.
Yeah, The Frighteners it's one of my go-to. Oh, I forgot about that movie. It's one of my go-to Halloween movies, so
I
yeah,
like that.
I love The Frighteners.
That is. You are hitting them out of the park. I love it. The next one I'm going to talk about is newer, 2017. It's a Scott Cooper film, and it's called Hostiles.
I don't know this one either.
So it's Christian Bale,
Okay.
Rosamund Pike, Scott Shepard's in it, Wes Studi, Jonathan Majors is actually in it. With what's going on with him right now, I don't know if that's good or not. Stephen Lang's in it. But yeah, so the premise, it's post Civil War, and Christian Bale is a he's a soldier, but he was involved in the unfortunate business of removing indigenous people from their lands. But he's ordered to take this venerated chief, played by Wes Studi, back to hallowed burial. He's terminal. He's got cancer, and so they make the trek to get him there. And obviously, there's tension. Manufactured being a the two sides that the men occupied, and. But they learn to, especially Christian Bale learns to appreciate and respect Wes Studi's character, and it's a long movie and it's very slow, but it's a great, great character movie. When there is action, it's very good and very fast. But yeah, Rosamund Pike is quite good in it. Yeah, it's I enjoyed it, but I'm also a history buff,
Yeah.
and I like the point of view they tell the story from. And I think they tell it reasonably well. So yeah, Hostiles, it did not do well at the box office. It had a budget of like it was like 50 some million, and it only did 28
Oof.
in the box office.
Oof.
I'm going to assume the theme, subject matter, and the fact that it looks like a Western
Yeah.
did not do it well. So it hurt it. But yeah, I really enjoyed Hostels, and I would strongly suggest it.
Okay. Yeah, I never heard of them. Every movie that you've said so far, I've never heard of.
Well, that's good.
So
That's the whole point
that's
of
how under the
this.
radar they are.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to talk about one that I don't know if you've ever seen, but you should watch.
Okay.
Turbo Kid.
I have heard of Turbo
Okay.
Kid. Is it from New Zealand?
It is from it's maybe yeah, Canada and New Zealand. Canada and New Zealand. So this is a great movie. It's a post-apocalyptic movie set in an alternate 1997. So the world has ended.
Yeah.
And this kid find he, Turbo Kid basically he's a fan of, this kid is a fan of a comic book hero called Turbo Kid, and he has to team up with some people to stop Michael Ironside basically. And
That should be everyone's goal.
right, yeah, Michael Ironside is kind of evil.
Except in Starship Troopers.
Yeah, that's true. But this is a really good one. It's an action movie, but it's also kind of funny. I don't know how much money it made. It just or how much it was made for. It only says that the box office was $67,000, but it doesn't say how much it was made for. But this is a really good one. It is aesthetically very pleasing. The way it looks very cool. The fact that it's an alternate 1997 makes me laugh. This used to be on Netflix. Came out in 2015, so it might still be on Netflix. But if you haven't seen it and you like sci-fi stuff or like post-apocalyptic or even comedy, definitely watch Turbo Kid.
Okay. Turbo Kid.
Turbo Kid. It was a really fun movie, and definitely more people should know about it, but they don't. Which I guess is the whole point of this. But,
That is the whole point of
yeah.
this. Turbo Kid.
Turbo Kid.
I forget who I was talking to about that movie with.
Might have been me.
Maybe it was,
I'm the
but.
only person I know that's seen Turbo Kid, but I think John watched it with me.
Okay.
So you might have been talking to
That probably was you.
John.
Let's see. Oh gosh, there's two more. Well, we'll talk about this one because it's fun and Sharon really likes this movie. This is Where I Leave You.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yes.
That's got a lot of good people, and I can't think of
Oh,
who's in it, but.
a lot of, so you got Jason Bateman,
Yep.
you've got Jane Fonda, you've got Tina Fey, you've got the dude who was in who's Yellow Jacket. What's his name?
Yeah, I don't know what his name is. Corey something or.
Yes, Corey here. Oh my gosh. Adam Driver's in it.
Yeah, I
Rose
thought so.
Byrne. Corey Stoll. There we go. Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah.
Dax Shepard. Yeah. Just a great movie. So if you haven't heard of it and if you haven't seen it, it Jason Bateman catches his wife cheating on him with his boss, then finds out his dad dies, and so all the kids are there, and his dad was Jewish, and he ordered shiva, so they have to stay with each other for 7 days, and he's reconnecting with the girl, and then there's strife with his other brothers, but yeah, so it was. Just a great movie. This is another one of those ones, though, that maybe it doesn't count because the budget was just under 20 million and it did 34.
Wow, really?
Yeah. But so I mean it was modestly it did modestly well,
Yeah.
but is 34 million, what does that equate to? I mean
Yeah.
is that really a hit? I mean it was 2014, so I just feel like that's a movie that, and of that 34 million, 12 of it was in the first weekend. So it really fell off. So my guess is that there were other things that came out. But yeah, man, it is funny, it is heart-wrenching, it is you'll laugh, you'll cry. It's just it's a great fun movie.
Yeah, definitely worth a watch. I don't remember how we found out about it, probably because it has Jason Bateman and Adam Driver in it, and John loves those guys. So we definitely watched that, and it's great.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. I'm gonna end on the note that I wanted to start with, but I decided to end with. That is the 2018 film The Man Who Killed Don Quixote.
No. There we go.
The reason that I think this is under the radar is because it took 30 years to make this movie. If you're not familiar with this, this is Terry Gilliam's epic Don Quixote story, starring Adam Driver and Jonathan Pierce and Stellan Skarsgård. And this is the movie where the guy thinks that he is Don Quixote. He goes crazy, thinks he's Don Quixote. So he ropes Adam Driver into being his Sancho Panza. And they it's a loose adaptation of the book Don Quixote, which I am thoroughly obsessed with. This movie, now I don't know how to do this math at all, but it was 16 million euros to make and only 2.4 million box office. So I'm assuming that's not very good.
I can't imagine.
but it took 30 years to make, but I just don't think a lot of people have seen it.
Correct. I've heard of it.
Okay, it's on Hulu.
I've not seen it, but I have heard of it.
It's on Hulu.
I've heard good things.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Not Toby. That's the character Adam Driver plays. Adam Driver does a really great job. Originally, it was going to be Johnny Depp, you know, in 2001, but then he fell out after a while, and then it was going to be somebody else, I think, but then they fell out, and then Adam Driver got attached to it, and, you know, just watch it because it was, it took 30 years to make it.
Yeah.
You know, give him the satisfaction of watching it.
Yeah. Reward the man for his time.
His patience.
Yeah. Jeez. Well, I will, really quick, before I do my last one, we did ask a few people.
Yeah.
So, our buddy John.
Yeah.
His under-the-radar movie is Valhalla Rising, starring what's his name? Rogue One. He was the bad guy in Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Mikkelsen?
Mads Mikkelsen.
Mads Mikkelsen, yeah. There we go. Gosh, I'm terrible with names. So he's in it.
Yeah.
And that's all I can tell you. John says it's good.
Okay.
And if John tells you to watch it, then maybe watch it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then my sister-in-law, and I don't know how to quantify this because this is a much older movie.
Okay.
So I don't know how well it's known. And maybe it is. But The Ghost and Mrs. Muir, M-U-I-R.
Don't know that one.
She says it's horribly underrated and it should be watched by everyone. So, again, I've never watched it, so I can't say. My last movie is, again, a newer movie from 2018. And listen to the cast.
Okay.
Okay? You've got Jeff Bridges.
Okay.
You've got Dakota Johnson. You've got John Hamm.
Oh, wow.
You've got Chris Hemsworth. You got Nick Offerman.
Can I guess what this movie is?
You can.
Hell or High Water.
No.
No, okay.
No. That is Ben Foster and Chris Pine.
Oh,
and that
really?
One did really well.
I thought Jeff Bridges was in Hell or High Water. What is this movie?
He was.
Oh, okay.
This is Bad Times at the Old Royale.
Okay.
Absolutely great. I loved it.
Yeah.
It was such a quirky movie. And again, it's the whole who's good, who's not, who's bad, who's not. They're all kind of not, you know, or, you know, it's just there's the fine lines, right? I was thoroughly entertained with this movie. I thought it did great. I did not realize, again, we didn't see it in the theater. I didn't realize how bad it did at the theater.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was a hit because I had heard a couple people say, oh, yeah, that was a good movie. I haven't heard a ton of people talk about it. The budget was estimated to be $32 million. Made 17.
Oh, and, really?
And seven of that was opening weekend.
Jeez.
It did do 31 million worldwide. But yeah, as I'm watching it, once I found out how poorly it did, it's like, why? I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good movie. Jeff Bridges is great as always. Chris Hemsworth character is just goofy. John Hamm's great in it. But I like John Hamm.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I'm a Jeff Bridges nut. So I just, yeah. Bad Times at the Old Royale. I really enjoyed it. It is longer. It's like 2 hours and 20 minutes or something like that. 2.5, 2:15, somewhere around in there. But yeah, I think it's worth the watch.
Yeah, okay. I'll have to check that out. The trailers looked really cool.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it didn't do well. given that cast.
All right.
I guess it just shows you, like, because, like, in the old days, like, people would go to movies for the actors, you know, yeah. but not anymore.
Yeah.
Really.
No, well, and look, you know, movies, COVID hurt movies quite a bit, right?
That's true.
So it's interesting. It seems like nowadays it has to be, you know, the big in-your-face action or the crazy comedy. I mean, but although you look at it, of course, again, this is this podcast is going to get released way later, but The Dial of Destiny didn't. They're calling that a flop.
Yeah.
But everyone I hear talk about says it's great. So, yeah. Are they flops because they just put so much money into it? There's just no way that they could possibly live up to it?
You know what it really is? We're the flops. The human species is the flop.
We're flopping the movies? We're flopping?
We're flopping existence as a whole.
Man, you're dropping knowledge on
that. That's right.
Man, all right. That's all I got, man. I mean, I could talk about to about underrated movies forever. This was a good one. So thank you to my Uncle Adam.
Yeah, really.
Because I researched this one more than a lot of the other ones because it's just, I really wanted to make sure, but then it was fun kind of looking back at different movies and trying to not get
cult movies,
which was happening quite a bit at the beginning.
So I'd be interested to hear what, you know, other listeners think is
absolutely
as an underrated movie we should check out. So leave that in the comments anywhere. Or tell me in person. Text me. I don't care.
Yeah. And remember, it can't be a cult movie.
Right. That was the hardest part.
That about was, this. Yeah. You know, one question for you.
Okay.
Where would you put Kung Fury?
Ooh.
Is that a cult movie?
I don't know.
Enough people know about
Kung Fury? I don't think
Fury?
Enough people know about
Kung Fury. So that's an under the radar movie.
Yeah. I don't think enough people know
Although
about
it is
that.
It's
a short movie, yeah.
But do yourselves a favor. Try to find Kung Fury.
Definitely, it's the greatest half hour you'll spend.
It is one of the best half hours you'll ever have in your life. Just ever. Ever. And I was so excited when I heard they were going to do
a full movie,
and it just has never happened.
Never happened.
So, well, all right. Very good. Well, all right, guys. Yeah, so hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Let us know what your movies are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good, bad, or otherwise.
Good, bad, or ugly.
Yeah. That is definitely a classic.
Yeah.
Not under the radar.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Not at all, but good try. All right, guys. Stay nerdy.